Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Hey, before we learn the Gemara, let's take advantage of one of our features of the Gemara marking system Shas Ozer, the topic headings. You'll notice in the outside margin we have a no say, a topic heading, and we've written Machlikas Rav Rav Asi. We have a controversy between Rav and Rav Asi, whose names, by the way, you will notice are circled in the Gemara. Bekriyas HaMegillah Bizmano, when one reads the Megillah on its a proper time, namely, if you're in an unwalled city, 14th of Adar. Im efsher likroso shelo basar. Is there a possibility of reading it without 10, without a minyan? Turning to the Gemara. Oma Rav. Megillah, colon. You see an aleph and a beis. We break this down into two parts. Bizmano, kurin, oiso, afilu, biyochid. If it's Megillah on the 14th, or in the case of a walled city from the time of Yeshua on the 15th, that's considered bismano. You're able to read it even by in private, even alone. Shalom bismano. If, however, you're dealing with the reading of the Megillah at a time other than its formal time, you need to have a minyan. You need to have 10 people. Rav Asi Omar, bein bismano, bein shalom bismano, be'asara. Whether it be on its incorrect time, meaning an adjusted time. For example, the villages we saw in the very first Mishnah have an option of reading it on the Yom HaKnisa. They must have a minyan of 10 people. But Rav Asi goes further. He says, even Bizmano, even reading the Megillah on the 14th of Adar, for example, requires a minyan. So if you notice or focus on the markings, we noticed a dot underline both under Rav's comment of Bizmano and Rav Asi's Bizmano. That is the point of difference. Rav's Bizmano can be done even biyochid. Rav Asi Bizmano, according to Rav Asi, a reading on the 14th of Adar requires a minyan. Have Uvda, there was an incident involving the reading of the Megillah on its official time, meaning on Yud Daled Ador, v'chosh le'rav l'hod Rav Asi, and Rav behaved in a stringent fashion, requiring 10, even for a reading bizmano. Now we have a long question. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dash line. All of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dash line form the question. The Gemara will be asking a question from another angle. In other words, according to Rav, we saw that shelo bizmano necessitates having a minyan. We are going to ask on that point. In other words, we're going to see where Rav himself seems to allow even shelo bizmano no need for asara. So the Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rav Hochi, did Rav really say that shelo bizmano needs 10? The Omar of Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei the Rav. Purim Shechal Yois B'Shabbos. Purim, the Yud Daled Adar that came out on a Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Zmanom. Now that phrase doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara reacts with wonderment. Erev Shabbos Zmanom. How can you say Friday is its time? V'ha Shabbos Zmanom hu. Shabbos is the time. That's the case you set up here. You said Shabbos that is on Yud Daled Adar. That's the time of Purim. So rather, the comment that was made here that referred to Erev Shabbos must mean thusly. Shelo bizmanom kizmanom. Ma zmanom afilu biyachid. Just like Yud Dalid Ador, which is its time, Megillah reading can take place even in private. Af shelo bizmanom afilu biyachid. Even if it's shelo bizmanom, like a case where Shabbos is Yud Dalid Ador, the Megillah reading cannot take place on Shabbos. So Rav's comment here, Rav's halacha here is that shelo bizmanon is going to be like zmanom, namely just like zmanom. Rav acknowledged it can be done biyachid, even shelo bizmanom, even on this Friday, which is a day early than Yud Dalid Ador, it can be done even biyachid. That's af shelo bizmanom afilu biyachid. Hence, we've dashed underlined this phrase. This is the main question on that which Rav seemingly said earlier. Loi, le'inyan mikra megillah ba'asora. There is no question that if it's megillah shelo bizmanon, Rav will require 10. So elo my erev Shabbos zmanom. So what was the intention of this comment that Rav made that erev Shabbos is considered its time? The answer to that is lafuke midarebi, to the exclusion of Shitas Rebbe de Omar. We saw Rebbe on Daf Dalet Amud Beis that said the following: Hoyol v'nidchu ayoros mimekoimon yidchu liyom haknisa. That if Shabbos is Purim, in other words, Yud Dalet Ador is on Shabbos, Rebbe had said that the unwalled cities will be pushed back to Thursday, the Yom Haknisa. Means it would be pushed back till Yud Beis Adar 2 days early. Komash Malon, Rav here is trying to paskin, trying to rule otherwise. The Erev Shabbos Zmanom Hu. That in such a case, when the 14th is on Shabbos, it is the Megillah should be read on Erev Shabbos. That's its time, to the exclusion of Shitas Rebbe, but having nothing to do with the issue of numbers of people that are necessary. So the Maskona, according to the end of this Gemara, Rav's Shita regarding Megillah Shelo Bizmanon is definitely one where you need to have 10 people. Of course, Ravasi will also insist on that. Ravasi simply went one step further in insisting on having a minyan even Bizmanon. A zohi ir gedoyla. The Mishnah asks, how does one know if a place qualifies as being classified as an ir gedola, a large city? Kol shiesh bo asora batlonim. Any city that has 10 people that are available at all times for davening in the shachris and available for the for mincha. Pochos mikan hare ze kfar. If you don't have a situation that 10 people are designated and paid by the community to be available for the morning and evening davenings, so then hare ze kfar. Then it will be classified as a kfar, and we already have seen the difference between an ir gedola and a kfar, insofar as a kfar has a certain amount of flexibility with regard to the reading of the Megillah. Be'elu omru magdimen. Elu is a reference to the zmanim of Megillah. With regard to Megillah reading times, there is a possibility of having it done early. And that's the case, for example, if the Shabbos is the 14th of Adar, so we say regarding Megillah reading, it's going to be done early, velo ma'achrin, and it's not delayed. It's not performed after Shabbos. Avol, there are other items. This Mishnah features four practices that will be delayed to a day later. Be'elu amru. Let's go over that point again. Be'elu omru magdim velo ma'achrin. We mentioned that's with regard to Megillah and the case where Purim comes out on Shabbos. Avol, zman atze kohanim v'tisha be'ov chagiga v'hakel me'achrin velo magdim. The case of zman atze kohanim, the Gemara won't spend time dealing with that over here, but it has to do with a people that accepted on themselves to donate wood to the Beis HaMikdash. And they had accepted on themselves on an annual basis, they would bring this wood dedication to the Beis HaMikdash, and also bring a korban, so that if their date for bringing the wood and their sacrifice came out on a Shabbos, it would be delayed till after Shabbos. Tisha B'Av, that if the 9th of Av comes out on a Shabbos, so the a day of fasting is going to be observed on the day after, on Sunday. Chagiga, this is a reference to the Korban Chagiga that a person brings during the Shalosh Regolim, the three major holidays. A person brings this Korban. Now, if the holiday falls out on a Shabbos, so you don't bring the Korban Chagiga on a Shabbos. The Hakel, and also Hakel, which is the practice involving the king reading the reading from Sefer Dvorim in the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash on the first day of Chol HaMoed of Sukkot that comes out after a Shemitah year. So that practice, if it falls out, if the first day of Chol HaMoed comes out of Sukkot, of what's called the eighth year or the first year of the new Shemitah cycle, if that comes out on a Shabbat, so it's delayed. Ma'achrin v'lo makdimin. Afalpi shomru makdimin, even though with regard to the Megillah, there is a possibility of it being read early. Nevertheless, mutorin behesped ubetainis, those early days, the earlier dates for the reading of Megillah, will be allowed in conducting eulogies and fasting. Umatonos levionim, and that early date will be the day for performance of the gift to the poor. That's the Purim gift to the poor. Matonos levionim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when is there a possibility of having an earlier day for the reading of the Megillah? Mokom shenichnasa b'sheni v'chamishi. This is in a region where people enter the large cities for court sessions. In other words, we're talking about places, regions in which the court sits on Mondays and Thursdays. But if we're talking about a region where the courts do not sit in session on Mondays and Thursdays, then the Megillah reading is not going to be pushed early, as we saw in a previous sugya. At that point, it's of no special convenience to the forum, to the small towns, because they're not going to be going into the major cities on the what was termed the Yom HaKnisa, because we're talking about regions that don't have courts in session on a fixed basis on Mondays and Thursdays. Therefore, they will read on the 14th of Adar like everybody else. Tana. The Gemara introduces a brisa that explains the word batlonim in the Mishnah. We said a city is considered a city if it has asora batlonim. So the brisa says asora batlonim shebeis haknesses. We explained this earlier. We're talking about the 10 people that are supported by the community not to work. In other words, these people are designed or specified to be present in the shul for the tefillos shachris and for the other tefillos of the day. The Gemara in Brachas Rashi mentions that if you have a situation where the davening time has arrived, prayer time has arrived, and you don't have a minion of people in shul, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes and sees this, and he notices this, that they're missing, he gets angry. So as to preempt that problem or that situation, the community hires 10 people to be available for the davenings. So a city that has that, has 10 people that are designated for this purpose, is considered an ir gedoyla. Be'elu amru makdimin v'lo ma'achrin. My time, well, why is it that we are not to delay in the reading of Megillah? In other words, after the 14th of Adar for Yoros Gedolos, that's it, that's the latest day. Omar Rabbi Abba Omar Shmuel, notice we've double underlined this name, this is to signify the Meimros of Rabbi Abba and the name of Shmuel. So we have two of them over here. He says, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Veloy Ya'avor, don't pass beyond. In other words, the date that the Megillah ascribes to the Purim celebration is the 14th. Veloy Ya'avor, do not do it later. The Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. We have a new marking in addition to featuring Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel's name. We have a diamond with a colored in tip. We glance at the outside margin. We notice it says the Nosei Mivneh. We have a topic heading with a structural note. The diamond is enclosing the word Minayin. From where do we know? Chishuvim Legabi Shonim VeChodoshim. Calculations that have relevance with regard to a year and months. Two separate issues. Two almost unrelated issues. Only insofar as they're related, only insofar as issues of how we calculate time. So with the Omar Rabbi Abba Omar Shmuel, Minayin She'ein Moinin Yomim Lishonim. When it comes to calculating a year, we don't figure days in that calculation. Shenema L'chodshe Hashana. Chadoshim Ata Moinin Lishonim V'Ata Moinin Yomim Lishonim. This is best explained by learning the Rashi. You'll find Rashi on the third line under the Gemara. Minayin she'ein moinin yomim lishonim kegon de'omar. We're going to cite as an example a person who accepted upon himself a vow. Koinim yayin shani toyim lishana. He vowed not to drink wine for a year. The word konim is a lashon of a vow. So it says a person who accepted on himself a vow not to drink wine for a year. He is to count 12 months from the day that he took the vow till that next year, that same day, at which time the vow will have been fulfilled. In other words, no longer bound. If he vowed on the 1st of Nisan, he's going to be forbidden to drink wine till the 1st of Nisan of the next year. Even though, if you count from Echad B'Nisan of this year to Echad B'Nisan of the next year, you will have completed 12 months, but you will not necessarily have completed a solar year. So even though he swore not to drink wine for a year, he is not expected to complete a solar year. The difference in time between a lunar year, which is determined by the passage of 12 lunar months, the difference is a difference of 11 days, where generally speaking, the solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year. It could be that we make Chadoshim Chaserim, which would be a lunar year that's going to be even shorter, whereby you'll have a bigger difference between the solar and the lunar year. So the halacha that we just learned was that we don't count days for the calculation of years. We said a person who accepted upon himself a vow of not drinking wine for a year. A year means count from the date of that particular lunar month till next year, that same date, even though it may be an extra number of days in order to complete the solar year. One does not count days in calculating years. The Gemara had brought a pasuk to prove this, and that was L'chodshei Hashana, meaning Chadoshim Atamim L'shanim. You count months with regard to calculating when a year finishes. V'i Atamoyne Yomim L'shanim. You don't count days in order to complete years, as Rashi just explained, specifically referring to those 11 extra days that would have completed a solar year. V'rabbonon D'Kesir Mishum Rabbi Abba Amru. This is a second halacha. Minayin she'ein mechashvin sho'ois l'chadoshim. In matters that require a calculation involving a month, one does not figure hours in order to complete that month. Shenemar ad chodesh yomim. Yomim ata mechashiv lechadoshim. Days are used in order to calculate a month, a complete month. V'ata mechashiv sho'is lechadoshim. But one does not calculate hours with regard to a month. Now, in order to understand that, one again must look at the Rashi. Sho'is lechadoshim. Rashi says, Kegon ha'omer. For example, a person who says, Zegitech im lobosi mikan ad chodesh zeh. For instance, this will be your divorce document, your get, he says to his wife, if I do not come within the month. V'hoyo chodesh choser. And the month was determined to be a 29-day month. Ubo mishachashecha liyom chavtes. And this husband comes back, not exactly within the month, but he comes back after nightfall. The nightfall sets in right after day 29 of the month. Ein omrim, we don't say adayin hu b'soich achoydish. He's still considered within the month, and hence would be in a position to stop the document, the divorce document, from taking effect. Sharei chadoshe shelavona choftes yom mechza. You know, Rashi's explaining what one might have thought. That one might have thought that since the lunar cycle, a complete lunar cycle, is approximately 29 and a half days. In other words, there are extra hours to the 29 days in order to complete a full lunar cycle. Well, we don't say that you have to factor that in, and therefore, if he said that the get shall take hold if he doesn't come back within the month, and it was declared to be a 29-day month, and he comes back after nightfall, after the 29th day, the get will be binding, the get will take effect, because he did not come back within the month. And the fact that the completion of the lunar cycle really lasts a couple more hours into the night after the 29th, that nevertheless does not count. That does not make it such that he came within the month if he comes back after the nightfall of the 29th. And as the Gemara said, the pasuk for that was ad chodesh yomim, and we said yomim ato mechashiv lechadoshim. Days are used to calculate a month. Vei ato mechashiv sho'is lechadoshim, but you don't calculate hours when calculating whether something is a month. Avol zman atzei kohanim v'tisha b'av v'chagiga v'hakel me'achrin v'lo makdimin. There were four items mentioned in the Mishnah that we do delay and do not celebrate early. The Gemara will not focus on all of the items. It will make reference to three of the four items and not deal with the Zman Atzei Kehanim. So we've used little numbers here to correspond to the numbers that were found above. Therefore, Tisha B'Av is called number two, because it was the number two mentioned before. Tisha B'Av, the reason that we do not celebrate it early, in the event that Tisha B'Av comes out on a Shabbos, we don't celebrate it early. Agdumi Puranus lo mekadmi. We don't make early. Puranus means punishment, and Tisha B'Av is a day that represents the punishment of the Jewish people by the Almighty. And we don't want to celebrate commemoration of punishment early. That's Agdumi Puranus lo mekadmi. The third point, Chagiga, and the fourth point mentioned above was Hakel. Why is it that we do not celebrate them early? Mishum dakati lo moto zman chiyuvayu. The time on which one is obligated to celebrate these issues, for example, the bringing of the Korban Chagiga, you can't bring it early, the time hasn't come yet. And likewise, Hakel, the time hasn't come if you're talking about some day before the first day of Chol HaMoed of Sukkot of the eighth year. Tana, the Gemara presents a Tanaic source that's going to present a problem for the Gemara, to which a number of solutions will be attempted. Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga me'achrin. This source says that the korban chagiga and zman chagiga we delay. So bishlamo chagiga, I understand the source saying that the chagiga is delayed. The mikla b'shabata, if the yontif, which is the time one is expected to bring a korban chagiga, this chagiga sacrifice, if it comes out on a Shabbos, then me'achrinon lo lebosar shabata, then we delay the chagiga, the bringing of the chagiga, till after Shabbos, the Shabbos which is the first day of the Yom Tov. Elo zman chagiga mahi, what is meant by that phrase? You'll notice we have a house marking with a colored in tip. This is explained in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading. The house form, you notice we've written Pirushim Shonim Lehod Kotoni. We're going to see different explanations regarding that which we saw in the Tanaic source, Chagigo V'chol Zman Chagigo Ma'achrin. We mentioned that the term Chagigo, this was clear that if a holiday comes out on Shabbos, so the Korban Chagiga that ordinarily is expected to be brought on Shabbos is brought after Shabbos. That's Ma'achrin, delayed. However, the expression Kolzman Chagiga, what is that? So in our little introduction, we've summarized the three opinions, Rav Hoshaya, Rava, and Rav Ashi, what each one says. So reading what we've included in that introduction, the outside margin, Rav Hoshaya, Ein makriven oilas re'iyo b'yom tov atzmo. His opinion of what v'chol zman chagigo ma'achrin means is that in addition to a korban chagigo that one brings on Yom Tov, one brings an olas re'iyo as well. So Rav Oshai will tell us that kol zman chagigo ma'achrin means that the Zman Chagiga, which is the first, even the first day of Yom Tov, which is a day that's ordinarily Osir and Isser Malacha, is prohibited in constructive activity. There's an Isser Malacha. One does bring a Korban Chagiga. However, the Olas Re'iya he will not bring on that day. So that even though the first day of Yom Tov can be called Zman Chagiga, the Olas Re'iyah Korban, that's not brought on Yom Tov itself, it's brought after Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed, and that is according to Beis Shammai. This idea that on Yom Tov itself, a Korban, the Olas Re'iyah, which is the second of the two Korbanos that a person brings, that's not brought on Yom Tov itself. That's contained in the expression, or alluded to by the expression of Kol Zman Chagigo Ma'achrin. Rava, he says, "Ain that the expression of Kol Zman Chagigo Ma'achrin, ain tashlumin the korbanos hachag me'ever leregel, that the holiday korbanos have no extension period after the holiday itself passes." And Rav Ashi says, "Afilu atzeres, which is Shavuos, the Shavuos holiday, the chad yoma, that's generally speaking a one-day holiday." Yeshlo tashlumin kol shiva. Nevertheless, for the days, for the week that occurs after Shavuos, for that entire week, he has an option, or he has the ability to bring the holiday korbanos. That's kol zman chagig ma'achrin, according to Rav Ashi. Now, let's turn to the Gemara and see each one of their explanations. Elo, the Gemara says, we're looking at the end of the line above the Rav Oshaya house marking, Elo zman chagigo ma'hi. What is referred to by that expression? Omer Rav Oshaya, hochi ko'omar. Chagigo b'shabes, v'oilas re'iyo filu b'yom tov, d'zman chagigo me'achrin. What does he mean? If the first day of Yom Tov comes out on a Shabbos, so the Chagiga, will be delayed. That's Chagiga b'Shabbos Chagiga. If it comes out, if the need to bring a Korban Chagiga, which is a Korban Shlomim, if the need to bring it comes out on a Shabbos, so then it will be delayed. On Shabbos, we don't bring any personal type korbanos. The Oilas Re'iyah, the Oilas Re'iyah sacrifice, Afilu B'Yom Tov, Dizman Chagiga, even if it, the Olas Re'iyah, even with regard to Yom Tov, which is the time for bringing a Korban Chagiga, nevertheless, the Olas Re'iyah is not brought on Yom Tov, Me'achrin. It is delayed. So we have, in this source, there, according to Rav Hoshaya, there are two scenarios of delay. The Korban Chagiga, if it falls out on Shabbos, and the Olas Re'iyah, under all circumstances, with regard to the first day of Yom Tov, they are to be delayed. Money, this source that says that the Olas Re'iyah is not brought on the first day of Yom Tov, Beis Shammai Hi. This fits into Beis Shammai Shita, not Beis Hillel. Disnan, the following Tanaic source will bear this out. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mevi'in Shlomim B'Yom Tov, Ve'in Somchan Aleihem. That on the first day of Yom Tov, a person is entitled to bring a Korban Shlomim. However, he does not do the smicha process. This is a placing of the hands, and one's placing his hands with full force or body weight leaning on the animal. That's a smicha. That is not done on Yom Tov. Aval loy oilos. According to Beis Shammai, olos are not brought whatsoever on Yom Tov proper. Rather, they'll be brought on Chol HaMoed, or in the case of Shuas, on the following days. So what we've dashed underlined is the main point of why we brought this source in, to show that olos are not brought even on Yom Tov. And that's what the source, according to Rav Hoshaya, was telling us when it said, olas re'iyah filu b'Yom Tov, dizman chagiga ma'achrin. Well, Beis Hillel omrim, our, this current source goes on to say that Beis Hillel, however, says, mevi'in shlomim v'olos v'soymchan aleihen. According to Beis Hillel, if you're dealing with the first day of Yom Tov, shlomim can be brought, olos can be brought, the olas re'iyah, of course, and smicha is done. As far as the makoros for each one of these shitas, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Rashi brings the sources for their respective opinions. Continuing in our Gemara, Rava Omar Chagiga, Kol Zman Chagiga Ma'achrin, Tfei Lo. The Korban Chagig, which is a holiday-related Korban Shlomim, Shlomim sacrifice, is brought throughout the holiday. However, beyond the holiday, it is not brought. Disnan, the source says, Mishalo Chog B'Yom Tov Rishon, Shel Chag, someone who did not bring his Korban Chagig on the first day of the holiday, Chogeg V'Holech Es Kol Horegel Kulo, V'Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag. The term Chag is a reference specifically to the holiday of Sukkot. So if a person did not bring his Korban Chagig on the first day of Sukkot, he has all of Chol HaMoed to bring it, and he can bring his Sukkot Chagiga on Yom Tov Achron on Shmini Atzeres as well. Ovar Horegel, once the Sukkot holiday passes, Volo Chog, and he didn't bring his Korban Chagiga, Eino Chayav Bachriyuso. He no longer bears an obligation to make it up. Rav Ashi Omar, Chagiga, v'chol zman chagiga ma'achrin. The expression kol zman chagiga ma'achrin is coming to include the afilu atzeres dechad yoma, even Shavuos, which is a one-day holiday, ma'achrin. You can bring it later. Disnan, the source begins and says, moidim shim chal atzeres yos b'Shabbos. Everyone will agree, namely Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that have a machlokis with regard to Atzeres that begins on an Erev Shabbos. They will agree with regard to Atzeres Shavuos that begins on Shabbos, Sheyom Tevoach Achar HaShabbos, that the Yom Tevoach, the sacrificing day, in other words, the day designated for sacrificing the Shavuos Korbanos, will not be on Shabbos, even though it's only a one-day holiday, so when do you do it? You bring it after Shabbos, and that shows that Shavuos, though it's a one-day holiday, it has a make-up period. There's what's called Tashlumin. We have a make-up period, and that's what was meant, according to Rav Ashi's approach, by the term Kol Zman Chagigo Ma'achrin. The Kol comes to include even Shavuos has a delay aspect or make-up aspect associated with it. As you can see, there's a slash mark in our marked Gemaras, indicating that which follows is a new idea. In our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, we see Gimel or Shalosh Hanhogos Shel Rebbe, three practices of Rebbe, She Muvoyin Al Yedei Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar will be quoting that, will be presenting Rebbe's Hanhogos, and Utaguvasoi Shel Rebbe Abba Bar Zavin will see a response or a reaction of Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda to that which Rabbi Elazar presents here. In fact, Rabbi Elazar will be quoting three practices or behaviors of Rabbi, and Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda on the third line from the top of Omid Beis will be reacting to one of those practices. So let's see. Amar Belozer, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rebbe Nota Netia Bapurim. Rebbe planted a sapling on Purim day. V'rochatz b'kroino shel tzipor b'shivosor b'tamuz. And he bathed. B'krona means, for as far as Rashi is concerned, he bathed in a public fashion. In the Krona is the market day with public knowledge on the 17th of Tammuz. The 17th day of Tammuz is a fast day. It's a day we observe in commemoration of sad events, as is reported in the Mishnah in Maseches Tainis. He bathed with public knowledge on that day. And number three, Ubikesh Lakor Tisha B'Av, and he intended to uproot. When, of course, we're quoting what Rebbe intended to uproot Tisha B'Av v'lo hodu lo, and the Chachamim did not agree with him in his attempt or request to uproot the observance of Tisha B'Av. Now that sounds a bit shocking, that Rebbe wanted to uproot the observance of Tisha B'Av. So stay tuned, the Gemara will get into this a bit more. At this point in the Gemara, you can see that we concluded a point, long point marking, that we started at the bottom of Hey Omid Aleph, and at this point you notice a Dalet that's encircled. The Dalet is Dechiyah, a push off, a rejection of what was just said, and this too will last a few lines, as is indicated by the long dashed vertical line that you can see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text following the Dalet Dechiyah. So Omar Lefonov Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda, we've called him Beis in light of the fact that we addressed Rebbe Elazar on Omid Aleph as referring this to the Aleph, the first stage. This is now the second stage, where Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda says to Rebbe Elazar, Omar Lefonov Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda. Rebbe here is, he's addressing Rebbe Elazar. He says, Rabbi, lo kach hoya maisa elo tishabov shechalios b'shabes haveh. The incident involving Rebbe and Tisha B'Av is not where Rebbe wanted to uproot the observance altogether of that commemorative day. Rather, it was a one-time event where Tisha B'Av came out on a Shabbos. V'dachinuhu la'achar ha-Shabbos. And being that it came out on a Shabbos, one does not observe Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. V'yomar Rebbe, hoyu v'nidchi yidche v'lohodu chachamim. Rebbe wanted to say that since it's not going to be observed on its official day, because the 9th of Av fell out on a Shabbos, the Rebbe said, let's not observe it altogether this year. Regarding that, the Chachamim disagreed and said that even if you're not going to observe it on Shabbos, so observe it on Sunday. Upon hearing that, Rebbe Elazar felt that things all of a sudden became much clearer, and was indebted to Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda for setting the record straight. In other words, not like Rabbi Lozer originally presented this as if Rebbe was coming to uproot Tisha B'Av altogether, but rather in the case that Tisha B'Av comes out on a Shabbos and it's not going to be observed anyway on its proper date, so Rebbe intended that year not to observe it at all. Kori Ole Rabbi Lozer, upon hearing the clarification of Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, referred the following pasuk to this situation: Toivim hashnayim mino echad. Better to have two than to have one. Namely, if I were by myself, so my mistaken presentation would have been left as is, and a mistake would have been left in perpetuity. Thanks to Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, so the record was straightened out. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a triangle. The triangle is part of a keep track effort of the give and take in the Gemara. That's indicated in our outside margin. We have a nosei, mivneh heading. The nosei, the topic, mivneh structural note, and the triangle is featured, and in parentheses we say ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track. So with the triangle point facing upwards, these are kushios, these are questions. How could Rebbe plant trees on Purim when Purim is a day, which the Gemara will demonstrate, is a day of Isur Malacha, where constructive activity is prohibited? And the Gemara will respond, Tshuvos answers. And that's indicated by the triangle facing downward. So if you skim ahead along in the Gemara, you'll notice how the triangle keeps repositioning itself in order to indicate either a question or an answer. Let's now proceed into the Gemara. The Gemara raises a question. It lasts a few lines, as is indicated by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The Rebbe... you also might want to take advantage of the little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, indicating look for an arrow on Omid Aleph to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you are successful in finding it, you will notice it is at the last line where Rebbe was featured as having planted on Purim. So regarding that, the Gemara asks, "V'Rebbe heichi nota netiyah b'Purim? How could Rebbe have possibly planted on Purim?" V'ha toni Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has a Tanaic source that says as follows, "Simcha u'mishte v'yom tov." This is a quote from the Pasuk in the Megillah. And it's now broken down, and we underline each phrase or word that's relevant. Simcha, that Purim is called Simcha Melamed Shasurim Behesped. This teaches us that it's a day forbidden to eulogize. Mishte, which is also from the Pasuk, Melamed Shasur Betainis, that it's also to observe Purim while fasting. V'yom Tov Melamed Shasur Basiyas Malacha, and this has been dashed, underlined, because this is the main point from the fact that the Megillah describes Purim as a Yom Tov. It's similar to Yom, just like Yom Tov is restricted in Malacha, in constructive activities, so too Purim. So the question is, how could Rebbe plant, which is a Malacha, planting is a Malacha, it's a prohibited activity when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, so how could he do that on Purim, which likewise is proscribed in constructive activities? Elo, the Gemara responds or answers, Rebbe bar abesar have. Rebbe came from an unwalled city which observes Purim on the 14th, v'chinota, and when he did the planting, b'chamesar nota, he planted on the 15th. So he was not in violation of his Purim day. The Gemara asks, Aini, is that so simple to say that Rebbe was a 14th person? V'ha Rebbe b'Tveria have. Rebbe was from Tveria. V'Tveria mukev v'schoyma mimes Yeshua ben Nun havoi. And Tveria was a city enclosed by a wall from the times of Yeshua. So if that be the case, Tveria was supposed to be observed as walled cities are on the 15th. And if you're going to tell me that Rebbe planted on the 15th, so he was in violation of his Purim day. Ella, new approach, Rebbe bar Chamesar Have, V'chinota bar Besar Have. Well, it seems to follow from the point made just before that Rebbe, if Rebbe was what was from Tveria, and Tveria observes on the 15th, fine, Rebbe planted on the 14th. The Gemara asks, Umi pshitole the Tveria mukefes chaymemes mishul benun? How is it so simple and obvious that Tveria is classified as walled from the times of Yeshua? You see, Chizkiah, he read the Megillah on the 14th and 15th because he was in a state of doubt regarding the status of Tveria, whether it was in fact walled from the time of Yeshua or not. So what was presented as Rebbe being a 15th man and he planted on the 14th and therefore everything was okay, that, according to Chizkiah, you see, is not so obvious, not so simple, because Chizkiah treated Tveria as possibly a 14th day as well. So the Gemara answers, well, Chizkiah misafkale. Chizkiah was unsure. L'Rebbe pshitole. Rebbe, it was a matter of an obvious matter. So Rebbe was observing his Purim on the 15th, and he did the planting on the 14th. The Gemara asks, v'chipshitole mishar, and even if it's so obvious to Rebbe when Tveria is to celebrate, namely on the 15th. Is it really allowed for a 15th person to plant on the 14th v'haksiv? But Megillas Tainus, we have the following Tanaic source. The source here is called Megillas Tainus. This is a list of days on which miracles took place to the Jewish people, and they are observed as holidays, and it's called this compilation of dates is called Megillas Tainus, and it says in that piece of work, Es Yoim Arbo Sor V'Es Yoim Chamisho Sor, the 14th and 15th of Adar, Yoim Epurayinu, they are days of Purim, Tolo L'Mispad Bahon. So we see from this that the 14th and 15th are considered Purim days. So how can Rebbe have allowed himself to plant on the 14th when it's classified, even if he's a 15th man, still the Megillas Tainus lists the 14th as a Purim day as well as the 15th? The Omar Rava, and Rava, in commenting on this Megillas Tainus source, points out Lo Nitzurcha, the purpose of this source that says the 14th and 15th are observed as Purim days, when we know you really celebrate only one day, why does the source indicate 2 days? Elo le'asor es shelzeh bozeh ve'es shelzeh bozeh. That even if you're not actually observing the reading of the Megillah and the Sudas Purim on both days, but nevertheless, the practices or the restrictions that apply to one apply to the other. So, for example, if it says in the source that one does not eulogize on the 14th, and he happens to be a person from the 14th, from the unwalled cities, he is not allowed to eulogize on the 15th either. And the Gemara is assuming the same thing with regard to Malacha. So that if, in the case we cite above, Rebbe was a 15th man, nevertheless, the 14th must be observed with the same restrictions. So the Gemara answers, not so. Hani mili, the idea that we just said that le'esor es shel zeh bozeh ve'es shel zeh bozeh, the idea of mutual restrictions, that's behesped ubetainis. That's with regard to eulogizing and fasting. That if you're a 14th man, you're not allowed to fast on the 15th, and vice versa. And likewise with regard to eulogies, avo malacha. But as far as a malacha restriction is concerned, yoim echad v'sulo. There's only one day that's restricted, and therefore, if Rebbe was in fact from Tveria, and he would observe the 15th as Purim, and hence the 15th is also b'malacha, not so with regard to the 14th. He would be allowed to do malacha, and that's what he did. The Gemara asks, "Eini v'harav chazilu gavadav v'koshali kisna bepurayo." It was a mice, an incident where Rav saw a man planting kisna, flax, pishtan, on Purim day. V'latya v'lotzamach kisne, and Rav cursed him, and the kisna did not grow. So what do we see from Rav? We see from Rav that there is that Purim is a day of Isser Melocha. So the Gemara says that's fine. However, that doesn't affect what Rebbe did. Hasam bar yoimahu. What Rav was cursing was a guy who was doing Melocha on the day he was supposed to observe Purim. Rebbe, in planting the tree, was planting it on the 14th. That wasn't the day he, Rebbe, who was from Tveria, was to do the practice Isser Melocha. Once again, Rebbe was planting on the 14th. He, since he was a 15th man, the 14th is a day that would be allowed by Malacha. Rabo braid Rava Omar. Afilu temo biyomei. Rebbe planted on the day that he observed Purim. Afilu temo biyomei have. Even if you say Rebbe planted on his Purim day, it's still okay. Hespid v'tainis kiblu alayu, malacha lo kiblu alayu. The Yidden, the Jews, when they accepted the restrictions of, let's say, Purim restrictions, they accepted only a restriction with regard to eulogizing and fasting. But as far as malacha is concerned, that Purim is going to be classified as a day during which to restrict oneself from malacha, that the Jews never accepted on themselves, and the Gemara proves it. This is Esther Perek Tes Posuk Yutes. This is a posuk before the Yidden, before the Jews accepted upon themselves Purim. It says Simcha Umishte V'Yom Tov. Describes Purim as a day of joy and festivities and drinking and meals and a Yom Tov. Ule B'Sof in Posuk Tes Bay Posuk Chof Beis of Perek Tes. It says Ksiv La'asos Oisam Yemei Mishte V'Simcha. That's all it says. Filu Yom Tov Lo Ksiv. And notice in this pasuk the term Yom Tov is left out. What does that show us? That when it came to the acceptance of Purim, they accepted only to observe it as a day of Mishta and Simcha, but not as a day of Malacha restriction. If that be the case, then Rebbe's planting on Purim presented no problem whatsoever. Well, if that's true, then Elo Velo Rav, my time of Latye Lahu Gavro. If the Malacha restriction was never accepted, so why did Rav curse the man above? And you can use the arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to see what we're referring to above. The Gemara answers, with regard to Rav and that fellow that he cursed, Tvorim HaMutorim V'Achirim Nogam Bo'en Yisr Havei. The person was living in a community where the citizenry had accepted upon themselves a personal acceptance, so to speak, malacha restrictions. That even though by letter of the law it's okay, that's why it's called Dvaram HaMutarin, planting kisna, planting flax is allowed on Purim. However, Achirim Noban Isser is the community accepted upon themselves a restriction, and this guy was violating his communal obligation, so to speak, his communal acceptance. The acceptance meaning the community accepted malacha restrictions, and he was violating that by planting the kisna. That's why Rav cursed him. Uba Asrei de Rebbe lo nohug. And in Rebbe's town, there was never a communal restriction accepted upon themselves in the first place. So Rebbe had no reason to restrain himself from planting the Netiyah. V'iboy Aseima li'oilom nohug. Another approach says that in Rebbe's community, they did observe an Isser Malacha. If that be the case, so then how could Rebbe go ahead and do against the public acceptance? For Rebbe Netiyah Shel Simcha Nota, Rebbe was planting a Netiyah Shel Simcha. The term Netiyah Shel Simcha will be mentioned in the Gemara a bit later. And the Gemara says, Kidisnan, as is found in the following source. In the following source, there will be the following, we'll call combination of two sources, you will see a description of this Netiyah Shel Simcha. planting of joy. That's what Rebbe was doing on Purim. The Gemara goes on to say, Kiddisnan, Avru Elu Velonanu. This is a Mishnah that's quoted almost out of context. It's dealing with a situation where, from Maseches Tainis, where rains haven't fallen, and it's the drought is getting more and more intense. So it says if the original dates for the expected rain had passed, and there was no rain, and they fasted and davened and prayed and they velo nenu and they were not answered. So mimatin b'masu v'matan, as a sign of solemnity and tshuva and penitence, they would restrict themselves from commerce. And also v'binyon u'benetia, they were mimayit construction and planting. Erusin u'benesuin, and also matrimonial obligations, covenants, they restricted themselves from. The Tana Allah, and a Brisa that explains this Mishnah, says, Binyan, the Binyan that during this drought period one restricts himself from, is Binyan Shel Simcha. And Netia is Netia Shel Simcha. Ezehu Binyan Shel Simcha. What's meant by that? Zeh Haboine Beis Chasnes Levno. That's a binyan shel simcha. Beis chasnas is a situation or a practice where a person, upon marrying off his first son, the father would provide an apartment or a house for his first son. So the construction of that beis chasnas is called binyan shel simcha. Ezuhi netiyah shel simcha. What about that? What's the netiyah shel simcha? And this is what we're really focusing on. So that's Zeh Hanotea Avurniki Shel Molochim. One who plants an Avurniki Shel Molochim is called Netiya Shel Simcha. Rashi explains that Avurniki Shel Molochim was a tree that kings used to have their meals underneath, enjoying the shade. It's called a picnic under the shade of the tree. So this kind of shade tree that's planted is called Netiyah Shel Simcha. Gufa. Chizkiah Kari v'Tveria Barbeis v'Chaveisar. Chizkiah read the Megillah in the town of Tveria on the 14th and 15th of Adar. Why on both days? Mesafkalim, because Choymim is Yeshua ben Nun, he lo. He was in doubt whether it's a walled city from the time of Yeshua or not. The Gemara asks, and before we go further, we should note our markings. If you take a look in the outside margin, the Mivneh, you see before that, we should maybe look at the Nosei, the topic heading, Tveria, Birur Imoisim Ukeves Mimois Yoshua. Now, under our Mivneh heading, we have a Ma'akav, an indication that this trapezoid or volcano will be used for keeping track of the give and take in the sugya. So with the narrow part facing upwards, those are shalos, those are questions. When it's flipped over, the narrow part facing down, those are tshuvos, those are responses. So the Gemara opens with a question. Umi mesafka le milsa de Tveria. Is the matter of Tveria really an issue of doubt? It says in a pasuk regarding that area of Eretz Canaan that the tribe of Naphtali was to receive. It says, "V'orei mivtzar hatzodim tsar v'chemes rekes v'kinras v'kaimalon rekes zu Tveria." So it says that rekes was Tveria. Rekes is in this pasuk, and we've dashed underline that. And it's called Orei Mivtzar. That means fortified cities. Those are cities with walls around them. So what we see, here's a pasuk from Yoshua indicating that Tveria was a walled city from that time. So the question then is, why would Chizkiah be misupuk about the status of Tveria? So the Gemara answers, we're trying to answer, why was he misupuk? Why was Chizkiah misupuk? Because Tveria, though it was surrounded, but also bordered on the water, on the what's called the Yam Kineres, or the Lake of Tiberias. So he, Chizkiah, was in doubt how to view the side that's walled by the sea, that the sea forms that final wall, the last wall. Gemara asks, well, Ihachi Amay Mesafkale, if the issue is the water representing or forming a wall, then Vaday Lav Chomahi, then it's definitely not a walled city. The Sanyo, the Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is in the context of the Bote Ori Choma, which is a halacha regarding houses in walled cities and their sale time and the buyback possibility. So there are special halachas that apply to Bote Ori Choma, and it says, Asher lo choma velo shor iger. So the expression Asher lo choma is a walled city to the exclusion of a city who has a wall formed by the fact that its houses are built attached to one another, so that you don't have a formal wall for the city, but the walls of the houses form a wall around. The Pasuk says, Saviv, Prat Litaveria, Shiyoma Choymosa. The word Saviv is excluding Tveria as being classified as a walled city, because Tveria is walled on one side by the sea. So from this source we see that there should be no room for Suffolk regarding Tveria, but rather Tveria is classified very clearly as an unwalled city. So the Gemara responds, there is room for doubt. The fact that this Tanaic source says that Tveria is beyond doubt, that's le'inyan bote ori choyma lo mesafkale. Regarding the laws of sales of houses in walled cities, there is no room for doubt. And the special halachas concerning sales of houses in walled cities will not apply to Tveria, because regarding bote ori choyma, Tveria is not a walled city. Ki komesafkale, Chizkiah had a doubt concerning Tveria, that's le'inyan mikra megillah. He had a doubt concerning the halachas of Mikra Megillah. And it's pointed out that by Mikra Megillah, in the Megillah is no word, Choma is not mentioned, Choma being a wall. So the word Choma is not mentioned. And therefore, how am I to view a place like Tveria with regard to Mikra Megillah? My prozim umay mukafin diksivi. The Ksivi Gabi Mikra Megillah. In the Megillah, you have Psukim, that the word Prozim appears, and from Prozim we infer there's something called Mukafin. So, what do the words Prozim and Mukafin mean in the context of Megillah? And the Gemara will give you now the two sides of, or the two possibilities, or the two sides of this issue. Aleph, on the one hand, Mishum Dahani Miglu Vahani Lo Miglu, is the difference between Prozim and Mukafim that the Megillah refers to. Is that a function of the unwalled being Miglu, exposed, and the walled being Lo Miglu, unexposed? They're surrounded by their walls. Veha Nami Migalia, Tveria, though, is exposed. Oidilma, or the concept of Prozim versus Mukafin might be Mishum Dahani Mignu Vahani Lo Mignu. Mignu has to do with Muganim, defended, that the walled cities are defended. The Prozim in general is considered open to attack. However, Vaha Nami Miganya Tveria, though its open side is defended, in the sense that enemies don't come from the sea. Enemies come over land, and as far as the sides of Tveria that are facing the land, those are in fact protected with a wall. The fourth side of the town, which is facing the sea, that's also protected. Mishumachi misafkale, because of this, because of how do you classify, or how do you describe, what are the elements that make something Mukafin versus Prozim? That is a matter of doubt. So to review the point of doubt, when we make reference to Mukafin, does it mean something that's not exposed, or something that is defended. Tiveria is something that is, on the one hand, it is exposed. However, on the other hand, it is defended. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice Rav Asi's name is underlined, and we have a Roman numeral number 1 accompanying this. On the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh, we feature the Roman numerals 1 and 2. Beis Lishonos Rav Asi Binyan Hagdoras, so we'll see two versions of how Rav Asi classifies Hutzal, which is the name of a town. Nafgamina Masai Kurin Shom Megillah, the practical bearing will be on when is the Megillah to be read there. So, turning to the Gemara, Rav Asi Kori Megillah B'Hutzol Bar Beisar U'B'Chameisar. Rav Asi read the Megillah in the town of Hutzol on the 14th and 15th of Adar. Misafkalei Mukef Eschem Yeshua Ben Nun He Oilo. He was in doubt whether Hutzol was a walled city from the time of Yeshua. Iko the Omar. Another version. Om Rav Asi Hai Hutzol de Beis Binyamin. The place called Hutzol of Beis Binyamin, Mukev Eschem Yeshua Ben Nun, Mim Yeshua He. That place is clearly a walled city from the time of Yehoshua. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.